and turned around on fire for God. So I'm excited she's married. They're ministering in Africa, a lot in Kenya, and they have three children. And to me, to be a minister in Africa with three children is like, I can't even imagine. I mean, I had a hard time here with the two children. Oh, but God gives us the grace, doesn't he, for wherever he's called us. So let's welcome Rachel.
Yeah. Can y'all hear me? Awesome. Bring my tissues with me. And if, oh, there is a box. Okay, perfect. I brought a, I just bought this Bible. You're going to laugh because I've become accustomed to using technology. And my other one was like falling apart. So I was using a computer. And then all of a sudden you go back to like a hard copy. I'm like, wow. I'm pretty sure I had these all memorized, and now I'm just kidding. Thank you so much. Sue always invites me to come every time she knows that I'm coming back to the States, and I love that. So let me give you a little bit about what we do. Willie and I, we do live in Kenya with our three children, and we love it. We love the nations. We love seeing God do so much in people that sometimes are, you know, disesteemed. It's great to see all these big crowds at places and, you know, the States, and you minister and it's like, wow, that's awesome. But then you go out to a village and it's like, man, we love these people. Like, they're so important to God, right? Every life is so important to him. And so what we specifically do is we do a lot of pastor discipleship. We've discipled hundreds of pastors in far out village areas. Far. When you're like, wow. You know what I mean? Like, you're sweating in a little tin-roofed mud church. But it's just beautiful. And God has done so much in their lives because we really believe the local church on earth is the power of God. That local church in that village is going to reach people that we aren't going to reach, that, you know, television's not going to reach. And we've seen that. We have so many amazing testimonies, and we've ministered in hundreds of churches. So we kind of go through the pastor discipleship program while ministering in those churches and connecting with them. A couple great examples are we've had pastors go through that program for years, and one pastor called us and he said, you know, I got a call from a family in the village, and they said their son was dying, and could I come pray for him? And I just thought about everything I've learned in Christ, you know what I mean, who I am. And he went and prayed for that boy, and he was healed. He was totally healed. You know what I mean? Like, what if he hadn't learned the truth of who he was? You know what I mean? That boy might have died. But we get to be a part of that. And if you're a partner at EU Mountain International Church, you're a part of that. Like, your financial giving partners with us every month. And you've made that possible. So the next phase for us, for our ministry, is we're expanding. We've been in Western Kenya for almost 5 years. And we're branching out into Eastern. So that's the East Coast, right on the coast. I know. I'm really crying about that. Really? The coast? Are you sure? Okay. But we're really excited. It's the second largest city in Kenya. It's a predominantly Muslim area, which is twofold exciting for me because I love the Muslim community. I know the Lord wants to love them and show his light and the truth through them. But also to raise up those churches, which are very segregated. They have less support. They have less understanding. We want to undergird them. We have one actual Bible training center that has officially started with our pastors in Western Kenya that they're running, which is amazing. Means that we don't have to go all the time, but they're self-sustaining right now because they've been through with us for years. And then we'll start another Bible training center for men, women, whoever wants to come and be a part of that on the East Coast there. So if you're praying for us, please pray. Just all you know that expansion and moving everything takes resources. It takes all of that. So we'll be looking for new housing, new building, new studio, because we're also on television, which is another amazing thing that was like, wow, Lord, we didn't even seek out that avenue. But we've always had, this is interesting, we've always had India burning in our hearts. I feel like some people either love it or hate it. They're like, oh, no. A lot of people have been like, no, I couldn't do India. But we love it. We have always loved it. And we thought we would move there in 2013. Willie went and he ministered at Bible College. He ministered at some churches. He came back and we just did not have a release in our heart for that. So we just were like, okay, Lord, we'll just give it to you. We're just going to keep following you and you'll do with it what you want to do. And about 2 years ago, so people were really messaging us, like asking us questions. You know, how do you live for God like that? How do you do this? How do you move? How do you? And I'm like, babe, I can't answer. Like, I can't write back all these people all the time. Like, it just is time and energy. And I was like, let's make some little videos. Let's just put some little videos with my phone. It wasn't even as good as this one. It was not as good. It was like we had actually had our house broken into and like everything was stolen in Kenya. Like all of our MacBooks, all of our iPhones, all of our iPads, everything, all of our new camera equipment was gone. So we didn't let that be a hindrance. We bought these little Samsung phones and we're like, all right, we're just going to use this camera. This is what we've got. Let's do it. So we did it. And probably 6 months later, some people from Victory Tulsa that now are in India and have been there for a long time, they have a television network in India that covers all of India. They said, will you do a television show for our station? Never had to step foot in India to have a potential audience to reach billions of people. Like, wow, Lord. Like, that's amazing. Spitting. I said you might get spit on. But I don't limit God and don't look at the small step as insignificant. Don't be limited by that. I could have said, Lord, this phone, just the video quality is not good. Yeah, let's not do it. Let's just wait. But no, you know what? It was like, you know what? This is it, Lord. I'm either going to use what you've given me or I'm just going to sit here. And we used what he gave us. And now, like, he's even increased that. We bought our first more professional television camera. We bought sound equipment. We just bought a new computer for editing that. And we're believing as we've got a little studio at the top of our house. It's really cute. It's also really hot. So I'm believing, like, our next expansion will also have a great studio place with a little bit of AC. Would be awesome for when I'm like, okay, got to change wardrobe now because we just sweated through our shirts. So we're excited about what God is doing in us and through us. I put a sign-up sheet on the back. It says Willie Griffith Ministries. If you're not on our newsletter list, please do that. Hi, Rachel. I love you. If you're not on our newsletter list, you can get on there that way. You can see what we're doing. Yes! Another African sister. That makes me so happy. You can get on our newsletter list and just see what we're doing every month. So you know if you're, you know, if you're from EMIC or part of KCM or whatever, you can see what we're doing every month, what your partnership is doing. Please just write legibly. I say that every time and yet I'm like,
you speak
tongues, you don't write them. Folks, okay, because we won't, I cannot, I'll have to be praying for an interpretation for like a long time.
Rachel.
Yes.
When are you gonna move to your new place?
So we had planned to be looking to move now, but this trip came a little bit early for us to come to the States because my husband's mom was getting married. So we really prayed about, okay, Lord, do we go back? And we felt like we needed to come back. And really love her and support her in this next step of her life and kind of just push that out. So when we go back to Kenya in the end of June, Willie will go out and start looking at some different locations and praying about if it's going to be one location where we can do housing and the Bible Training Center or if that's going to be two locations or what that's going to look like. So or he's going to have to go and I'll be with my kids. Thank you, Lord. So July, we'll start immediately. I mean, I would love to be moved by September. Would be awesome. that, yeah, so if he goes in July, August, September, you know, it's right in our heart. I mean, the time is like now, the end of this year, the latest. Yeah. It's going, yeah, it's going to be right near the beach. Yes. I know. I know. And you know what? It's like, really, Willie and I both had always dreamed, like, before we were serving the Lord, of, like, living on the beach. I'm kind of like, wow. Because I would have gone anywhere. That's, like, cry of my heart. Anywhere, Lord. I'm not in it for me. I'm in it for you. So I'll go anywhere, but warmer would be better. Because I don't function well in cold weather. It's like everything shuts down. So I... When I was really just praying over this session this morning, you know, Willie and I's heart is both just living that life, that all-in life for Jesus. And a lot of people write us, and that's what they ask. How do you live like that? And, you know, it's not like just a charismatic move where somebody prays for you. You know what I mean? And you're like, pray for me that I have a fire for God. Had that. Had that at 15. You know what I mean? My parents are picking me up at rehab at 16. So a prayer for a fire is great, but it's not what God desires for us. And I, a little bit of just my personal testimony, so that you know where I'm coming from, is that I grew up in a Christian family, love my parents. If you know my parents, I love my parents. They're amazing. They're amazing people. And you know what? Coming here helped them grow a lot. But in my younger years, they did the best they can. I told them, I'm like, they did the best they did, had with what they had. You know what I mean? If you had parents, please don't blame your parents for your life. Like, we're all responsible for us. So I was a massively insecure child. And I desperately wanted to be somebody. I desperately wanted to feel like somebody. And what I was tall with short, red, curly hair. And my sister was like this mid-height, little blonde. Like, she was perfect at everything she did. At least that's how I felt. Of course, she didn't probably feel that way. I felt that way. I felt like she was so good at school. She was excellent at every sport she ever put her hand to. And I was like, I just don't even fit, like, anywhere in this family. She was called the God Squad at school, like, her and her friends. And, you know, I wanted an identity of my own. And the minute that I kind of started to rebel, like, a little bit, people were like, oh, you're like the black sheep of your family. And you know what? That identity, I just found myself in that, unfortunately. And we all want to find our identity somewhere. And if we don't know who we are, the minute that somebody begins to say to you, look at you, you're like this, you know what? You'll be like, yeah, I feel like I'm a part of that. I feel like I can identify with that. I feel like these people will love me. And I did. And that was a very dark road for many years for me. And I think to this day, like, it's amazing how the Lord can heal you and take you so far that you almost look back at your own life like a movie, and you're like, wow, is that real? I mean, you can think of the worst things you can think of, and that was really my life. It was really dark. It was selling my body for drugs. It was crack houses, strip clubs, everything that you can think of. And when I came back to the Lord, I say came back. I got pregnant with Willie on the second time we ever hung out. Like, hi, nice to meet you. Then, like, hi, I'm pregnant. And my whole plan was to have an abortion. I'd been to the abortion clinic many times with my friends. And my parents were praying. People from the church were praying. You were praying, Miss Iva was praying. Anybody that knew was praying for me. And I know that was a huge difference in my life. I know that's why many times I thought I should have died. I mean, one time I'm driving down the North Dallas Tollway with this guy I'm dating, and I'm watching him. I mean, it's probably like, I didn't wear a watch. It makes me feel weird. It's probably like 8 in the morning, haven't slept all right. He's like totally manifesting demons. I'm like, we're going off the Dallas Tollway right now. Like, he's losing control, and demons are manifesting, and I'm like seeing this other body coming out of his body. And I was like, we are going to fly and like off this tollway and die right now. But we didn't. I was like, we pulled over in a parking lot and like tried to sleep for a few hours and then got up. I know my parents were praying for me. I know the reason I did not die so many times is because people at this church were interceding on my behalf. It's also the reason why when I was like, I'm going to have an abortion, all these random people spoke into my life, like random people that I would be like, that's so weird. But they did. Yeah.
I'm going to say this real quick.
Yes, please.
Because all that time, I didn't know everything that you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
I knew there were some things you were doing.
Yeah.
But all that time, every one of us saw you for who you are, mm-hmm, in Christ. Mm-hmm. We didn't see that, mm-hmm, Rachel.
Yeah.
I couldn't even believe some of the things that people said that.
Yeah.
Like when you got pregnant, I didn't even believe it because, mm-hmm, I saw you,
yeah,
for who after you were in Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I saw the beautiful woman that, yeah, you are. So, mm-hmm, when you sit and tell me all the stuff that you were and that you how, yeah, you saw yourself, it's so foreign to me,
yeah,
because those things never occurred to, mm-hmm, us.
I know, and you guys really loved me. Like, oh, and the
goodness.
Proof of that is when I came back here, how loved I was by so many, and still am, and still feel that to this day. Yeah, so it was really amazing. So what I want to get to is, do you have to live like that to come back and have a fire for God? Because a lot of people are like, you went through so much, that's why you have a fire for God. I'm like, no, that's not it at all. The reason I have a fire for Jesus is because I see him. I don't see all of what I did necessarily, but I see him. And living an all-out life for the Lord is about seeing Jesus for who he is in your life. Right? I want to look, I just want to briefly, we're going to look at Luke 24:13. Because I want to point a few things out, and we're going to try and move as we can. So actually, this is a passage on the road to Emmaus. If you guys know, Jesus is crucified, and Mary Magdalene, all the ladies have been at the tomb. They see the angel. They run back. They tell the disciples. I'm going to paraphrase this. Rachel paraphrase, okay? They run back, and they're like, hey, this is what happened. And the disciples are kind of like, oh, really? You know, they're not sure. And so two of them are walking back in Luke 24:26. You know, they're walking back, and they actually come and see Jesus. There he is. He walks right up to them. They can't recognize him. A lot of times after Jesus' resurrection, they didn't physically recognize him until he did something, and then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. But this is what I love, is that, let's start at 24. It says, and certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish, this is Jesus, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them all the things in the scriptures concerning himself. I love that. From the very beginning, he starts to reveal himself through the scriptures. Now, if you'll pair that, if you'll flip over and you look at 34, or 28, sorry. It says, and they drew near their village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now when it came to pass, he sat at the table with them. And he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew it was him. And he vanished from their sight. And this is what they said, you guys. And they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road to Emmaus, and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Their hearts burned within them at seeing Jesus. He said, when he was talking on the road and revealing himself, didn't our hearts burn? It's when we encounter him, experience him, draw from him, and connect with him that our hearts begin to burn within us. Right? I did not come to church from that lifestyle and just say, okay, I guess, you know what, Jesus sounds like the good idea. I would have never done that. I went to a meeting in Dallas that my parents bribed me to go to, basically, with a guy that was like operated heavily in the prophetic, and he really did, and he pointed me out of a crowd in the back, said, "You right there, come forward. You are the one sheep. You are the one that the Lord left the 99 to find. You want to be a model," which is what I wanted to be, a fashion model. I said, "God, this meeting is for you." And do you know what my heart said? "How dare you?" Oh, I was angry. That was the place of my heart. I was like, you called me up here in front of my parents to give them false hope that I'm going to change my life. And I'm not. I could have cared less about the word he had for me. I could have cared less how right he was. That was the condition of my heart. So Jesus was not a good idea. He was not just the cherry, like, oh, let me just do this church thing because I think it's great. He is either all or nothing to us. A fire for God does not come through saying that Jesus is the good idea. It comes through saying that he is everything. He is life himself. I know that in the past decade, I have not done drugs. I have not been drunk. I have not been in strip clubs. But that doesn't change the fact that I realize that I need to connect with him on a daily basis to experience him so that my heart can burn for him daily. This is what he desires. See, he showed up on the road. He presents himself always to us. We don't have to be like, he's not here. I wonder if he's going to show up today. He was always there. He's always there. But we have the decision in our hearts to make to say, like, I need him. I want him. Right? There were a ton of times that Jesus says, follow me. Over 19 times that I've counted in the Gospels, follow me. I'm going to read one for you. You can turn there or not. I'm going to go to Matthew 16:24. It's the rich young ruler, by the way, which we talked about. Then Jesus said to his disciples, wait, no, that's not the rich young ruler. That's okay, because I actually wanted to just read this one. This is great, because it's all about follow me. So he says that to the rich young ruler also. The rich young ruler is actually 10:24, but let's just go right here. He says, then if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profits a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus says that if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The cross represents what Jesus did. See, Jesus had everything. He was everything. He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And at that cross, in that moment, he laid it all down. He laid everything he was down, and he took you up instead. He took you. He says, take up your cross. which means that you lay all of you down and you pick up all of him. That is the point of the cross. It's not part of me and part of him. I'm okay with him being the icing on the cake. He's the cake. It's all of him. In that moment in my life, it was this. It's either going to be part of this in me or it's all of him and none of me. And that's how I live my life every day. It's all of him. It's I'm all in no matter the cost. Because you are everything. Because you are life itself. There is no other life worth living unless it's all of that for me. And that's not because I came from a horrible background. I have not overtly really sinned in a decade. Okay, maybe during sex I had a lustful thought and I said, oh Lord, got a little bit lustful on that. I should be honest. I mean, for real. I'm about honesty. I'm about reality. I'm not perfect. You know what I mean? Did I look at that person and envy something they had for a minute? I did, but I'm real with God. So I'm like, Lord, I had that thought. I'm not going that way, Lord. It's not who I am. Okay, but other than that, my need for Jesus is because I see that he is life. And he said, follow me. Think about what that means. Follow me. Have you ever followed somebody in a car? If they go left, you go left. Does that car have to stay in front of you to follow you? Yeah, it has to be in front of you. Following Jesus is about keeping him before your face. It's about saying, everything I am, all my focus, all my heart, all my desires is focused on you. There's nothing else in between me and you. It's not partly what I want to do and partly you, because I can't follow you. I can't see you. He wants us to keep him as the thing that we see at all times before our face. That's his desire. He says, follow me. We often have this weird idea of what this means, but it just means that he is ever present before our eyes. That's his desire. Because you don't have to search out somebody that's right in front of you. You just have to say, yeah, yes, I'm following you. That is the desire that he has for us, is that we experience and connect with him, and in that place, when we do it, we begin to burn on fire. There's a few instances of this. Now, if you want to talk about the rich young ruler, probably one of the saddest scriptures ever. You can read it yourself. It's Mark 10:24. And here he comes to Jesus saying, this is why I love Jesus so much, man. He's amazing. I'm going to turn to it really quickly. Mark 10:24. You can or you can listen. Is it 10:20? Yeah, it's 10. Sorry. It's 10:20. I apologize. So go up just a little bit. No, go up farther. And it's going to be 17. Yeah. So now as they were going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. I like that he says, you know them. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your mother and father. And he said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept since my youth. And then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, one thing you lack. Go and sell whatever you have and give it to the poor. That way you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at these words and he went away sorrowful for many possessions. You know what he said? Hey, the law, the tutor. You know the tutor was a law to bring us to Christ. He said, I'm fine with the tutor. I don't need you. All these things I've kept since my youth. I've done all the works. I'm good with that. I'm not willing to lay it down for you. You're great because people say you're great, but you're not enough for me. The tutor, I'm good with the tutor. I'll keep the tutor. Thanks. Wow. And Jesus looking at him and loved him. You know why? He knew the one thing that would set him free was to lay his own life down. That man loved his life more than he loved Jesus. And Jesus knew that that would kill him. He knew his own life would kill him. His own life was the one thing that would hold him back. Jesus didn't say it didn't have anything to do with possessions. It had everything to do with that man not being willing to lay it down and pick up Jesus. Jesus was not enough for him. That is a decision that now look, if you will look, if you will pair that with the Mary and Martha story, which I love, where she's sitting at his feet, right? Let's go. Let's take a look at it. Let me see. Let's see if my notes are actually legitimately right on this. That's going to be Luke 10:14. No. This is why. It's 10:41, and that's because I switch numbers in my mind sometimes. Glory to God, I'm redeemed. It's 41, folks. So here we have, I love this. Now it happened as they went, so if I'm starting at 38, that they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she said, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with the much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Didn't he tell the rich young ruler, hey, one thing you need to do? Right? He wasn't willing to do it. Mary made the decision and said, nothing else matters but this one thing, that I'm going to sit at your feet. That I'm going to sit at your feet. You know, Martha really struggled with this. And a lot of times Christians will really struggle with this. The world's not struggling with this as much as Christians are struggling with this. I'm doing things that look like church. Right? I'm doing things that look like church. And this has replaced my relationship with God. See, because some of those things can be good things. Some of them are good. I'm a server. People say, how'd you get your start as a missionary? I'm like, I served in this nursery 4 years. Not 4 years. For many years. I served in this nursery, and I realized if God wanted to move me up, he would take whatever we did, me and Willie. Will used to be in there with me in this little super kid nursery, super baby nursery, and we would serve and put ourselves under somebody, and God would bring us up where he wanted us to be, and he did. So serving is good, but works that replace relationship take the flame to a flicker. Right? So many denominations and movements started with a flame and they ended in a flicker because by the time they got down to it, it was more about the works. It was more about what they did. It was more about denominations and this and that. And the works replaced the relationship. When Jesus is saying, one thing is needed. If you'll sit at my feet, I will breathe into you. I will show you what I have for you. You want greater faith? Sit with him. Because as you know him, You trust him. You believe him. You hear from him. You don't question him. You don't doubt. You're like, I know him. You can't lie to me about my father because I know him. And that's the fire that burns in my belly. It is not about what more can I do or how can I look. And in a world that is full of a fake sucking selfie vacuum, and I love Instagram, I'm on it. Find me, Rachel D. Griffith. Because I think it's a great out. It's not always a great in. And everything is fake. Do I pick the best photo of me? Pretty much. And I don't do that in a weird way, but I'm just being honest. I don't pick the one where I look heavier. You know, if there's one where I look skinnier or fatter, I will probably go towards that. And it's not, you know, I'm just being real. Because so much of life is fake. We have become a millennial generation, which I am one. Aubrey is one right there. That is so disconnected. They're so disconnected, and everything can look good. We can make anything look good. We can filter anything. Right? Filter it all. And I don't want to, I will not let my relationship with God be like that. I don't care. I've come to the place in my life where I've said, Lord, I am laying it all down to take up all of you. And I don't care if I look foolish in that moment. I don't care if people want to look at me and be like, that's a little bit weird. You should temper it down, because my generation wants to make God whatever they want him to be. Yeah. Okay? He's whatever you want him to be. Don't tell me that I can't say that God's this way. I'm sorry. I believe this because I believe that it is the truth. It is uncompromised and unchanging. Yeah. And if they don't like it, unfollow. Whatever. I'm here to burn and they can watch me. And what I want you to realize is that right where you're at in your life, no matter your age, stage, phase, or occupation, you don't have to move to Kenya to have a fire and to live for God. Yeah. You don't have to move out of your neighborhood. Right where God has placed you is the place that he needs you. I get messages from people I haven't talked to in 20 years. I'm not kidding you. Like, I went to elementary school with them. They're like, I'm going through such a hard time. Can you pray for me? I love that. But my greater question is, where are you in life that there's not one believer that you know who can't speak into your life that you are messaging me after 20 years of not even talking to me? I worked for a while as a makeup artist, and one of my greatest joys is that after leaving that job, those people are still deeply connected to me because I viewed that as my ministry where I was, and it affected them. One life is as great as a platform. You don't need a platform to impact people. You just need to connect with your Father so that when that person is sitting there saying, I'm going, man, you say, how's it going? I was listening to somebody at the grocery store, like, you know just how it is. There's always one thing after another. I'm like, oh, it took all that I had to not walk up and say, you know what? Praise God. It's not one thing after another. God loves you and wants to do something in your life. But all of you have a sphere of influence that I don't have, that Pastor George doesn't have, that Kenneth Copeland will never have. You have what God has given you. You have family members, work, you know, people you work with, people in your neighborhood, grandkids, whoever it is, that what God is saying is, if you're going to sit at my feet, I'm going to give you that one thing that can never be taken away from you. It can never be taken away from you. And a lot of us have gone through church, we've done these things, and they're awesome. But that flame has flickered. And what I want you to see is that it does not have to be that way. I love where God is talking and he says, let me see here really quickly. Give me 1 second. So I don't misquote this. It's Ezekiel 37 is the Valley of Dry Bones. This has been one of my favorite scripture passages of all times, because what I love is that God's plan for us has always been to connect with Him and to live for Him. Always. Sometimes I think we get confused that this is our idea. Like, seriously, like, I'm a Christian, it was my idea, I got born again, I'm going to church. When all the while, throughout all of history, since the beginning in Genesis to the fall, God's plan was pursuing us. God's plan was, I'm going to send the Son to bring you back. Because that's what I want. That's what I desire. I desire my children to know me and to no longer live separated on the outside, outside the veil and away from me, but to be one with me, right? Didn't you say I'm going to take out the stony heart of flesh and give you a heart of flesh? Because that's alive. That's His desire, is that our hearts pulse, that they beat for Him. Because when I get up in the morning, I'm like, man, I know me without Jesus. I mean, I know me even with Him. And like, y'all don't want to, I mean, God's done so much in my life. That's the thing about living for Him, is that it's not just the transformation that happens when you connect. See, He wants all of you. He said, follow me, take up your cross, which means laying your life down, which means He's fine with whatever junk you've got. He wants it. He actually wants it. Because as you take up Him, that's where transformation comes from. I mean, even after I quit the horrible life, I married my husband who got a raging brat. And then, oh, there's another B word I won't say, because that's... we're in church, and it's, you know, but I think it's a female dog, if you have any questions about that. We would not be married, period. There's no way. There's no way. I mean, knock down, drag out, like, I do not mind a fight in my flesh. You know, there's like a flight or fight, and my husband's like, oh, you aren't just fight. You're like, I want the fight, like, gloves on, like, let's go. And we would not be married, so... the thing is, as you yield your heart to knowing Him, that's where change takes place. That surrendered heart is where growth comes from. The open heart before Him is where He actually chisels out all of those things. And you begin to grow. You begin to see yourself in this work. You begin to see His love, His life, His plan, His purpose. People talk about purpose all the time, like, oh, I want to find my purpose. And I actually speak that a lot. Like, God has a purpose for your life. You are an individual. But do you know you will not find that purpose unless you sit at His feet? Yes. You can wander all around. But if you want divine purpose, when He begins to speak to you, He begins to fill you with His desires. And guess what? You laid down your life because you can't pick up His, if you're still like, let me give you an instance. When we were in Colorado, I was just like, I really want this house. I want a house. Lord, I want a house. I've only had this ugly house that God did a lot in, but it was ugly, and I really wanted a house, and that was a desire of mine. But do you know what? I had to lay that desire down. Do you know it's God's plan for you to be blessed and have things and all that? But do you know that's inside the call He has on your life? I wanted that house, but I'm glad my husband enough was like, you know what? We're called to the nations. We've got to go. I said, Lord, I totally surrender that house. It was hard. Like, it wasn't that easy. But it was continual. It was like, Lord, I've laid it down. I've laid my life down. I'm fine in this little apartment. We got rid of all our stuff, and we slept on air mattresses. Because our heart was like, everything we're doing, we got to go. We got to fashion our life for this call. Do you know I'm living in that house? Like, I'm living in a better house than I actually thought I would have had in Colorado. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But more than anything, more than the house or that, I want the call. I want to follow the call. And that comes through knowing him. It comes through laying my life down to say that although I want to experience you, I want to take up you, I want to know you, so that I live this life with purpose because I know that this life is fleeting. It's fleeting. But I know what will last for eternity. And that is what I do for the kingdom. That is the lives that I impact. That is those I touch. That is eternal. And everything else is temporal. And I'm believing God for things. I mean, I live in Africa. We have one vehicle. Praise God. I'm believing God. We're going to have another SUV because they go through tons of wear and tear. But I am saying it's in the call. It's because I want that more than anything. And I know he will supply everything for that need. Right? I know I'm on the 10-minute mark here. My heart for you guys is that you see that I don't ever want you to see me. I want you to see what Jesus has done, because what he's done for me is what he has for every single person, and that is what excites me. I am nothing special, really, in the flesh. I am a horrible, I'm not the best of people in my flesh, apart from him. But what he's done in my life is what he can do in every single person's life, and that's what gives me hope. I live amongst every religion almost in the world in my community in East Africa. It's very multicultural. We have Sikhs, we have Hindus, we have Smileys, we have Muslims, all of that. I love it. I wouldn't trade that for the world. I love my children growing up in a multi-ethnic, multicultured religion. That doesn't scare me. Because I know who Jesus is. I know he's real. I know the power that comes from him. It's the power that no other religion on the face of the world has. Because when my kids are asking me questions, I just say, you know, I don't teach Christianity like some religion to my kids. I teach them to experience Jesus and know him. You know what I mean? That's the fire that's for them. I don't need to just make them memorize a scripture because I think that will give them life. I need them to experience him through his word. And they are like, wow, do you see the way that Jesus loved her? I'm like, yeah, it's awesome. And when they ask me a question about religion, I'm like, well, yeah, we're talking about the different gods, you know, of the Hindu religion and all that. Because my friends goes to school with a little Hindu girl that talks about, we can't eat meat, you know, the god with the elephant face. And I'm like, yeah. So she asked me a question. I said, well, baby, have you seen people healed in a meeting? Yeah, yeah. You remember that one? She told me your favorite healing. Like, you remember that person that was freed from demons? Yeah, yeah. I'm like, so what do we know about Jesus? She's like, that he's alive. Right? I don't have to compete with another religion because I know he's alive. He's alive in me, the transformation in me, the power that I see in others. That's the fire that burns within us, is the light in this world. Jesus set us as a light in this world. Let's look at one more thing. We're going to look at John. We're going to end on this. Wow, I'm going the wrong direction. That's embarrassing. So John 8:12. Please, Jesus, let this be right. Yes, 12. Woo. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world, and whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And I love this word light in the Greek lexicon. I went in and I dug this up. Do you know that it means a torch, a fire, a star? A star. I found this uniquely interesting because a star is a burning ball of gas. It burns so bright you can see it all the way from space. Same word. Follow me and you're going to burn. Keep me before you. experience me, encounter me, sit at my feet, and you're going to burn. Man, I live like this. I've been so, like, wrecked, honestly, by the Lord lately. I don't mean that to, like, puff myself up. I think I've just, even more this last year, like, the Lord's spoken things to my heart, and I'm like, I see the fleetingness of this life. And, like, eternity beckons, you know what I mean? He beckons for us to just experience him and realize that life is so much caught up in the cares of so many things. And yet one thing matters. One thing. And I'm going to end on this song because I want us all to just kind of sit here for just a minute and just worship the Lord. And for you, if you're at that place and you're just like, Lord, the cry of my heart is just to say, I've known you. I believe we're all believers in here. But there comes a time again, like where I'm saying, Lord, I'm all in no matter the cost. I'm all in. I want to follow you. I want to say, here I am. Here's all of me for all of you. And I just want to play this song and we can all just kind of experience the Lord in our way, in our hearts. And you'll probably know this. It's Carrie Job, The More I Seek You. Thank you. It's YouTube, so you have to leave it on. So I just want all of us kind of in our own hearts to just surrender and see just the beauty and the simplicity of what Jesus called us to. Because we overcomplicate so much of life. And if we just think about that one thing. I'm not a singer, so I'm going to click this off. You are, I'm not. you, Jesus. Thank you. You know, I just felt like there are some of you and you're thinking like, I want to experience that. But you know what? There's so many hurts. There's hurts in my heart. And you know what? Those hurts are something you need to let go of and see that God has always been the solution to your problem and never the problem. Okay? If you have hurts in your life and you're holding on to those, I need you to know that the heart of the Father loves you so deeply. He is not responsible for those hurts. He is not the cause of those hurts. He did not desire those hurts for you, but He is the solution. He is the healing to those. And He doesn't just heal, He restores. My life has been restored from so many hurts. I remember the first time I was raped, y'all. I don't even live with an issue from that. I don't. And I know God didn't do that. I know He allow it for a purpose. I know that this world is fallen. But I know that He is the solution to redeeming my life to be an anthem for the truth of who He is that sets us free. If you have hurts in your life, you need to let them go and lay them down. God is for you. He loves you. And we can never fully embrace and trust somebody we think has hurt us. And it's easier for people to preach from an experience and say, well, God just did that to work something through you. Well, I hope not, because I would tell you to get out of an abusive relationship. I would never, ever do that. And I would never, ever tell somebody to stay in a relationship where they thought that God, that person was hurting them. God is not hurting you, has never hurt you, and has never wanted you to be hurt. And you have to come to a point where you know that in the Word, and that's why you're in a good church that will teach you that the character and the heart of the Father for you. So you can trust in Him and grow in that trust and grow in that love. And let those hurts be healed. We've all experienced hurt. We all have. From family members, from loved ones, from boyfriends, from husbands. But God has called us to rise in Him. That when we know Him, we are not held bound by the things of this world. But we rise and we run with freedom in our wings, and we are the voice to this world. In a world that is just bound. I look at my generation, especially the Western Church, and I can't help but think, wow. Wow. So much hurt. So much disconnection. People shooting each other up, like, all the time. Wow. I think about these people that go and kill other people in schools. I'm like, were they that isolated, y'all? Can we not love the world around us and show His love and help heal? People's hearts are just so lost. But I believe each of you women in here has a place and a platform to use to love this world and to declare that freedom
in the arms of our Savior who has so grabbed us and enraptured us and called us His so that we can burn for Him and be that light, that star, that torch in the darkness. In a dark and hurting world, you are that star that burns. All right, I love y'all. Do we want to just close and discuss or? Yeah, sure. If you guys want to, how do you want to do that? So we have a stand if you want to be prayer.
Well, I was going to say, if y'all want to come up for prayer, we normally do that at the end, but because I normally discuss this with her a little bit, and then we have an altar call at the end. Y'all can come up, and she can pray with you. Okay? Did you want to add something, Pastor Brenda?